Hi guys, this is Asim from You Podcast. This is an episode we're talking about Doctor Strange, and it was with me and Ahmed, but we got so excited talking about the movie, I didn't do my classical intro, so I thought I'd record one later on and just add it as a tag. Yeah, we kind of love the movie. It's coming out this week in the US, I think, and it came out last week in the UK. So we got it early this time, so we're quite happy about that. So yeah, here's the podcast. We just kind of jump right in and talk about the awesomeness of Benedict Cumberbatch. Yeah, if you have any comments, if you have any suggestions, drop us an email at youpodcasting.com@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter or subscribe to us on iTunes. And here's the podcast.
Doctor Strange, you think you know how the world works? What if I told you the reality you know is one of many?
This doesn't make any sense.
Not everything does. Not everything has to.
Oh, but like, honestly, I did not, probably it's because I didn't prepare myself. I didn't check out one trailer. I just had ultimate faith in Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see him in something else outside of Sherlock, and he impressed the shit out of me.
Yeah, it's funny, dude. Like, I think for me, he's kind of the one that, I don't know, I'm not convinced. Like, I'm a huge Benedict Cumberbatch fan, right? Like, I love most of his stuff, but I just felt his accent was, like, really forced, and I never felt he was, like, part of the Marvel world. He just seemed like an outsider. I don't know. The one part that I never felt like I was, like, totally on board, and I know it's kind of a, like, nobody's feeling that way like I am, but I just felt like, I don't know. I don't know what it was. I think maybe it was also, I was seeing too much of Tony Stark in it because the characters are so similar.
I see what you're saying, but I think that's actually, the character is made like this because he's not the Supreme. He is actually Doctor Strange. Like, he's not letting go of his humanity. That's why he is different, and his character as a doctor is super, super arrogant and so cocky. And this is just him throughout the film. Like, he's not being accepted as part of anything. He's always thinking of himself as he's superior to wherever he is. So when he was in the hospital, he was the most superior out of them all. And now that he found out that these powers are like this, this is why the arrogance comes in. But as far as the accent, that didn't, like, flag anything with me.
Yeah, for me, it was not the character. It was really Benedict Cumberbatch in it. I didn't like his facial hair when he had the beard. It didn't look real to me. His hair, when it was straggly or when it was coiffed, it didn't look, like, real to me. It looked, like, super weird that they'd, like, added lines and, like, added it. Like, it, almost like when in X-Men 1, when they put Hugh Jackman in the Wolverine gear, and it just looked fake. It didn't look good. Those kind of things stood out to me, and the accent. I don't know. Maybe I need to. It's definitely a movie I want to rewatch immediately.
Oh, absolutely. Same here.
Yeah. And I did like it, but it just, I don't like, Benedict Cumberbatch was the only part that I was kind of like, I need some more time to kind of see how this will fit in with the rest of it.
But see, I think this is also a part of the movie's mistake because they didn't give the origin story and his struggle to accept the mystical part so easily. Like, remember when we watched the animation of Doctor Strange? Like, his struggle with the wall.
Yeah.
That was, like, you know, part of his struggle to, like, kind of humanize him or dehumanize him. I don't know which one it is, but, like, he needs something to humble him down, and that film was missing that part. Like, straight away, he jumped in it, and, like, he had no training, like the animated film. So, yeah, it was a little bit, let's say, sped up.
Yeah, definitely. I think,
you know what I mean? I wanted more details.
Because I think that the Marvel animated movie came out in 2007. I think we saw it on Hulu, probably.
Yeah.
So it's still available for people. And I watched it because I have no comic book knowledge of this character. He's always, he's kind of a part of the Avengers and he shows up in here and down, but I've never read like a solo Doctor Strange comic or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to kind of watch the origin story, and with, I think those Marvel animated ones are pretty good. So, and I think they did do, the movie follows a lot of the same beats as the,
they do,
as the movie, because it is the same origin story. But there are a few key differences, and I think one of those differences is that they spend a lot more time on his training and his personal trauma, because yeah. that's also different in the
a sister involved, and all these elements are gone.
Yeah, there was a personal trauma that made him become a surgeon, and why he got this godlike complex or something like that. None of this was really explained in the movie. And also in the movie, he gets magic powers really quickly, and then he becomes like the Sorcerer Supreme really, really quickly. And it's like,
yeah, exactly.
How did that happen? Like, how did he suddenly, like, we get that he's smart, but like he's learning different languages. And that the other thing is also like when he's in the sanctuary, we lose all track of time. We don't know how long he is in training. Is it years? Is it decades? Is it months? Is it weeks? Does it not matter because they have a time loop? I don't know. When he suddenly appears with back in the hospital with Rachel McAdams, I was like, how much time has there passed? And because there seems to be no anchor in that whole setup of that part of the story, which I don't like. I get it if you have that background and you don't mind and you're having fun with it, but I need it a little bit more there, I think.
Mm.
So yeah, those were kind of the a few of the issues I had. What else? Oh yeah, like the villains again, the classic Marvel problem. I dare anybody to kind of come out of the movie and be able to give me the name of the main villain, the one Mads Mikkelsen is playing.
Oh, yeah, no, there's no chance.
You saw it yesterday. Do you know the
name of
that
villain? Yeah, I saw it. There's no chance to remember his
name. Yeah, it's crazy.
There's
right?
a C or an H or an O or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I had to IMDb it that it's Caecilius. But
CHO, that's the closest my brain came up with.
Yeah, like sometimes it was like Cassius, sometimes it sounded like Philip. I was like, what is this name? And like Rachel McAdams' name, you won't know. You know, like I only remember Tilda Swinton's character's name and Chiwetel Ejiofor's name. That's the only one I know. So yeah, I think that's kind of a... I did like his getup. I did like the eyes, how that was done. But yeah, that was kind of a shame. And I also found it a bit of a shame that, you know, Rachel McAdams wasn't used more, because I just really like her as an actress.
Yeah.
So yeah, she was like, especially when you watch, because I don't know if you finished Luke Cage yet. But so like you know, you have Rosario Dawson's character who's also playing a nurse, and she's such a badass. She's such a cool character, and okay, she's now appeared in all three shows, so you have a bit more of a connection and you've spent more time with the character. But I think that's something that maybe a beat that, you know, Marvel movies should have taken over and kind of set a template for Rachel McAdams' character in a certain degree. Those were kind of the things that like stood out to me when I was walking out of the thing, that like, because a lot of people are saying it's kind of one of their favorite Marvel movie, and like for me it's not in my top five even.
Yeah, but I can relate to that for one simple thing. Is just I've got such a huge dose of all the other character, and this is the first mystical character we get. That's why it's actually now it's my favorite for this year, because it's just it's new, it's a niche, you know what I mean?
But how can you say it's better than Civil War for you? Like, seriously?
I didn't really like all the politics part in Civil War.
Oh, wow, okay.
I'm watching a superhero movie. I'm not fucking watching politics between Trump and Fatso there. You know what I mean? Like, I have no interest in that. Like, I have no interest in the whole politic part and how it shattered the thingy and stuff like this. This is real life for me. I can turn on the news and see the shit, you know?
Oh, really? No, that's why I like Civil War. I think that is one of the better Marvel movies ever made, for me at least. Even though it had its issues too. But no, that I really, really liked. I mean, I think in a way you can compare it to Ant-Man in a way because it's more of an origin story.
Yeah, I see that completely. I see that completely.
And again, I think I feel I'm being down on Doctor Strange, which I'm not. I really loved it, but I'm just like looking at the rave reviews it's getting, and I just didn't have that much of that feeling that other people seem to have. So I'm just kind of like pointing out why it didn't work for me. I'm trying to process it myself, but like, if I compare it to Ant-Man, for example, I think just because Paul Rudd was so amazing in it. And that movie...
I have my issues with that comparison because that's not a superhero movie. It's just like a theft movie. It's a heist film, dude.
Yeah, but clearly that's what I'm liking.
It happened to be a superhero. Can't compare these two.
No, but that's where the disconnect is. I need a superhero movie that's more than just a superhero movie. I need a heist movie. I need an espionage movie. I need it to be a political drama. Then I can connect with it. If it's just another...
I see now. You're just simply sick of the superhero stuff. That's why you need something extra to it.
I'm tired of white people suddenly becoming even more awesome. Like, you know? Like, that's kind of the trope I'm getting kind of tired of. Like, I get it if they get a suit. Right? I get it. Like, Ant-Man gets a suit, he becomes super awesome. Awesome.
Ant-Man, same thing.
Yeah, but Doctor Strange is already pretty awesome. He's rich, he's got a fast car, he's got all these other watches, but
he was rich. He blew all his money.
But he's just not happy. He's not happy. Like, I get it, you know? Like, after just watching Luke Cage and spending that time, or Jessica Jones, I'm like, man, these are the stories that are really connecting with me, you know?
No, but that's a hardcore emotional connection as opposed to, you know, the Doctor Strange backstory. Like, these are really, really dark, heavy ones, no?
Yeah.
I mean, I love the crap out of them, don't get me wrong. You can't compare them. I still think these shows are much better than that film.
Yeah, no, but I'm just kind of saying, you know, why Doctor Strange... Like, I'm definitely getting Marvel fatigue. I've said this over the last 3-4 podcasts we've
done. Yeah, we've been going through that.
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling it. And, like, even on the TV front, like, I think you and me were talking about it, the next Marvel TV series that's coming is Iron Fist. Some white dude going to Asia, getting superpowers, and coming back awesome. And usually he's already a millionaire when he started, you know? Like, you know? So it's like, we're already awesome, but we're just not happy. And now we've got superpowers, but we're still not happy. You know? So it's like, that story is like kind of, you know, getting a bit too much for me. And I'm definitely getting this, just tiredness of it. And I think with Captain America, I like it because he's a white guy that gets superpowers, but he got it in the 60s when, you know,
in the 40s,
you know, and then that makes sense in a world setting, in a setting, you know, in the time that we're living in. But the rest, yeah, I'm definitely getting Marvel fatigue. So I do need something really awesome to kind of stick out for me. And I was just making the comparison because I really like Paul Rudd in that role, like his charm, how he was kind of, you know, his Paul Ruddness. And I feel here the Benedict Cumberbatchness was kind of working against what I was enjoying in the movie. So that's why I was comparing it to Ant-Man. But I mean, like, just to get over the good things with Doctor Strange, man, it's like, it's amazing to look at. Like, it's amazing.
Oh, visually it's wow. Like, I think the only thing I can think of was the Leonardo DiCaprio Inception.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, visually wise, I think that's the closest I can come up with. Except in Doctor Strange, they took it up a notch.
Yeah. I mean, it reminded me of a lot of things, but it is definitely its own beast. I mean, you know, it has a bit of Inception, it has a bit of Batman Begins in it, it has a bit of Matrix in it. You know, so it reminded me a bit of those movies. But yeah, it's something like you just like. watching it mouth agape, like, oh my god, what the hell is happening? You know, like, it's insane. And did you watch it in 3D?
No, because the 3D show was at 8 o'clock at night, and that point it's like dinner time, it's during the week.
Yeah.
So, you know, getting too old to do that. Like, I can leave my wife and be like, I'm going to go see a film at 8
on
o'clock.
On my own, one that won't
interest you. So weird. On a Wednesday night, like, why? What's going on in life? Like, you know,
do you have no goals? Do you have no goals in life?
Exactly. Like, you know, so.
Yeah. I was very impressed with also just like the director of it, Scott Derrickson. I mean, he's not made that many movies. He's managed some big budgets, like with the day the Earth Stood Still, the Keanu Reeves movie. So he is used to it, but I was just like impressed, man. Like, how do you storyboard what's going on? You know, how do you kind of put one segment into the other and it kind of all sits together and it makes sense? I watched Sinister. That's probably Sinister and The Day the Earth Stood Still. Those are the two movies I've seen of him.
So I
knew of him, but I didn't know that he would be able to pull something off like this. And I think Marvel does that a lot of times. You know, they just get like an up and coming indie director and they put them in charge of this massive thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, even, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy and all that kind of other thing. But yeah, like Guardians of the Galaxy, I was just so impressed that this guy pulled it off. You know, it's just so.
Yeah, that was a different story.
Yeah. Because when you look back now, you know, when Jon Favreau did Iron Man, we were so impressed, but it seems almost like easy now what these guys have to do compared with it, you know. But again, he set the template, so we shouldn't downplay it too much. But I was really, really impressed.
If anyone is wondering, this movie was estimated on a budget of $165 million. And I'm trying to look up how well it did in the box office right now.
It's not out in the US yet. It's going to come out in 10 days or something like that.
Before the US? Even Belgium?
Yeah.
Are we all going to die tomorrow? Or like, what's happening?
No, man. Marvel movies have been doing this for a while. They work on the international release first. And then they do the US release. It's happened for quite a few movies already now.
And how did it do in London so far?
I don't have box office figures because this is going to be the first weekend now. You know, it started on Tuesday, so we're just seeing the weekend. So the numbers are probably going to come in on the weekend. But it's going to be a massive success for them. It's clear.
I really didn't get a chance to go through any reviews or anything, so I have no clue what the internet is saying so far.
Yeah, no, people seem to be loving it, for sure.
Okay.
Like, everybody that I read about or saw them write about it was giving very, very good reviews in it. And that's why I was like, wow, people really, really like it. I mean, it's got 8.2 on IMDb at the moment.
Oh, wow, okay then.
Yeah, so 74 on Metacritic. So
it's pretty high.
Yeah, it is pretty high. I think a lot of people will be liking it, and that's why I was like, wow, okay, maybe it's not just connecting as much with me as with everybody else. So what did you think overall of kind of the action setup? Like, we've spoken a bit about the origin story, which was kind of bland for me. What did you think of kind of the action set pieces? Like, especially the one in New York was just like mind blowing, right?
No. It was like really, really impressive. But I was actually expecting Cumberbatch to completely pull off that part. You know, I mean, any action sequence for him or anything like this, very, very realistic for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, in a way, it doesn't have any hand to hand combat or anything like that. Like, because they were.
But he's not that kind of fighter. That's the thing, you know. It's.
Yeah, but they were training for it. You know, they're training definitely martial arts in that sanctuary. But there's not any use of martial arts necessarily in it, which is okay. I feel I don't want to see Benedict Cumberbatch kung fu his way out of anything. But yeah, he was good at kind of making floaty objects appear. He was convincing in that. I really
by any chance, have you seen the original film, by the way, the one that was out in 78?
No, man, no.
No?
No, no, no. I didn't even know there was one. Is it a Marvel movie, even?
I'm not too sure.
Yeah, maybe it's just the name of something and it's not...
No, 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 it's Sorcerer Supreme and everything.
Oh, really? The...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he becomes the Sorcerer Supreme. Yeah, it's the first time I'm hearing of it.
I wouldn't mind giving it a go, just, you know, for the sake of the storyline, to see what's the difference in it.
Oh, Jessica Walter's in it? Wow, that's crazy. The mom from Arrested Development.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe you can watch it and let me know how it goes. I don't think I Yeah, I don't think I want to do that. That was
no, bad. But I'm pretty sure that the majority of the budget went to the special effects.
Yeah, probably. And it like needed... Like, Inception came out a couple of years ago, and you can see how far effects have come. Because they have a bit of that... It came out in 2010. So in 6 years, you can really see, you know, how far, you know, just effects and stuff has come. And I think for people that have the choice and they... I think it might be a good movie also to watch in 3D or 3D IMAX or something like that. I had a friend that texted me about it and he was like, dude, you have to watch it in IMAX again.
Oh, you didn't see it in 3D?
No, I saw it in 2D.
Oh, okay. So like me, I see. So
yeah, it was on the super screen in here in the Cineworld. So it was kind of a big screen. So we just booked that. But yeah, 3D, the timing weren't working out for me either. So, and also, I'll be honest, I've been not very impressed with the 3D that Marvel has done until now. So I got, I didn't mind that much. So I was like, I'll just get 3D, I'll just get 2D. But I think if people want to watch in 3D, I think this might be a good movie for that.
I like 3D, so
yeah.
It was, the timing was very inconvenient. It's like one show throughout the whole day.
Yeah. Before the movie came out, there was also a lot of talk about the race switching that's going on in this. Did you read anything about that?
No. What are you talking about? Please explain.
So, for example, most of these characters that these guys are playing should have been Asian characters, like Tilda Swinton.
Ah, yes.
And even Chiwetel's character Mordo, he's Asian in the book or in the thing, and it's not.
I think they're all actually Tibetan.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So none of that is happening here. Even the villain is white. His henchmen are white. You know, so. Did it ever stick out to you? I know I'm a bit more conscious of those things than you are. You are a bit more open-minded. But...
No, because I was actually thinking, like, this whole place takes part in Tibet, and I'm not finding any Tibetans. The closest I found was some Chinese people, but that's about it.
Yeah, know? Benedict Wong is the only person of Asian.
See, so, yeah, no, that was like, I was like, wait, but this is hardcore Asian, but... I didn't make a fuss because I was overwhelmed by all the visuals and the whole storyline. But yeah, now that we're discussing it, yeah, that did like, you know, went like hello a little bit.
Yeah, it's just odd because they do make it a point to make it set it in our times, like being contemporary, especially with that Wi-Fi joke that they added in there.
Yeah, we're not animals.
Yeah, which was a shame that it got spoiled by the trailer. I'd seen it and... I've seen it there, so it's not one of those thigh slapping jokes either. So I think they might they might have best skipped it in the trailer. I think it would have had a nice beat to it. But yeah, so they do set it in contemporary times, but there's no Asians to be seen anywhere. Like it's crazy. Like I mean, Benedict Wong is pretty much kind of the token Asian character. He's one thing.
It's only Wong. There's no one else.
And he doesn't even get like an awesome action sequence or anything really.
He was very little in the film.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I'm a huge fan because I love him in Marco Polo. He's so good in it, and he's like almost bloody unrecognizable when you look at his Twitter IMDb, the IMDb picture of him. And then look at him as a Kublai Khan. He's like, damn, man, like how big and chunky did he get for this? You know, it's like, it's amazing. Like, and he was also in The Martian, where he was kind of playing a science nerd. So he's played quite a few different characters, and I feel he really transformed in it. So it's a shame that they didn't give him anything to do. I mean, obviously there is the flip side of it that, you know, maybe they're trying to break out the stereotype of having a mysterious Asian character with a long beard and being the ancient one. But I think the pendulum swung a bit too much on this side. And Marvel has, they've been receiving a lot of criticism about their lack of diversity, especially in the movie world. So I think this is something that they might have, you know, been a bit more careful with, you know.
Yeah.
But I think when they kind of put Tilda Swinton as the ancient one, I think then they were stuck. Because then they couldn't, you know.
That was just a horrible choice of act. I just did not connect that much with the ancient one. Like, I needed an actual ancient one.
Oh, really? You didn't like Tilda Swinton in it?
No. Oh, I didn't connect with her character at all. Like, I actually thought it was a very horrible miscast.
Oh, wow. Lord. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. No, I really liked her. I really liked her.
I didn't get any ancient vibe from her, man.
Yeah, but there's a reason. I mean, they explain it in the movie.
I know, but probably that's where the hatred is coming, because she was doing that as well. See,
it's it was very much kind of Morpheus-ish. I mean, that was kind of the template, right? Morpheus. Was that turtle in Kung Fu Panda, the Grandmaster Turtle thing? Those are the two things in my mind that was kind of together.
That's the ancient one for you. I see.
Yeah. Was the raccoon Master Sifu? No, the one by Dustin.
Master Sifu, yeah, is their teacher, no?
Yeah, that's
the one with the long, long white mustache.
Yeah, but is also just calling somebody Master Sifu, isn't that like saying chai tea or coffee cafe? Isn't it like the two?
Oh, that gets to you when people do that? Like, I actually speak Arabic, so when people go chai tea, I'm like, why? Why? Yeah. Like, why do you do that, dude? And whenever this repetition comes, I remember a really old Hugh Grant film in the 90s. When he was going out with a mafioso daughter, and he called his restaurant the La Trattoria.
La Trattoria, yeah.
It's like, so really, man. Yeah. Like, for me, this is like the best joke that just stuck for years and years and years. The La Trattoria. Chai tea, please.
Yeah, what was that? Mickey Blue Eyes. That's the one. Right?
Yeah, Mickey Blue Eyes. There you go, exactly.
It wasn't Hugh Jackman, though, man. It was the other Hugh.
Oh, yeah, the English guy is not Wolverine at all.
Hugh Grant.
I'm glad I didn't say Hugh Laurie. That's completely Doctor.
What else about the movie? The action.
Did you like the last part, by the way? The mini conversation with Doctor Strange?
Let's do spoilers at the end then, before we're done, because I just want to do non-spoilery things first.
Because
I was like, we'll probably get into the end quite quickly, but no, I just want to kind of go over the rest of the characters and stuff. Like, Scott Adkins was in this too, right? Did you even recognize him? You know who Scott Adkins is?
Yeah, I know, but I didn't know. I'm looking on the IMDb page, and I was like, really?
Yeah,
the movie yesterday was Scott Adkins.
Yeah, he was the henchman. Yeah, they really do a terrible job with the villains, man. It's crazy. Yeah, so that awesome guy was fucking Scott Adkins.
Oh, my lord. Yeah. I actually just got his Hard Target, too, to give it a go, just because it's the second part.
Yeah, I want
to
watch it, too.
It's sitting on my hard drive, I think, for the past, like, month or something.
Yeah. I've heard it's quite good, actually.
But that's why I actually got it, because, like, I have to give it a go. But yeah, horrible. Who else was in the movie that we have missed?
Yeah, I think we've kind of gone most of them.
What did
you think of Dormammu? What did you think of the Dormammu character? Do you think that threat was explained enough, or kind of?
No, I thought that was like a really cheap effectish part that I didn't appreciate at all. Like,
I liked
how the solution came and the entrapment was.
Yeah.
But I didn't like the representation of that character per se. It was just like a really looked to me like cheap glitter, green glitter.
Yeah,
it wasn't well done at all. I did not appreciate it.
Yeah, I think the way the not the face of Dormammu, but the rest of his dimension, it seems to be kind of like a zoom of a cancer cell or something like that, like some sort of disease that they've kind of zoomed into and then made bigger in 3D. You know what I mean?
No, I completely get it. I see.
Like on a microscopic level of how a kind of cancer cell would look like or something like that. But then the physical representation of Dormammu, that kind of worked less for me also.
Yeah.
But like you said, I mean, the solution that they kind of provided was awesome.
That was very clever. That was really, really clever.
But again, I think...
But that's the Cumberbatch character part, see, the arrogance and the smartness at him.
No, but it's also just that, again, the problem I had is, like, how long is time passing? It did feel like still, like, this is going quite, like, he's, like, Dormammu is fed up with this quite quickly. Like, he's like, oh, what's going on? But imagine if that was going on for centuries, you know? If he's been doing this for 100 years... Then, like, there was never that idea of, you know, this is, he's really taking a sacrifice or, you know, whatever else like that. And that kind of was something, again, the time lapse, how the time period has gone, that is something I was missing, I think. There's quite a bit of comedy in the movie, too, right? We were talking
There was.
How did that work for you?
I always appreciate a touch of comedy in such movies. And I liked a lot the humor of his cape. I don't know why, but I really responded to that.
Because you're Arab, dude.
Probably. I would like a cape that would wipe my tears, dude. Like, that's
no, but I mean,
awesome.
It's pretty much Aladdin's carpet, right?
Yeah, that's exactly that's the same. That's the same conclusion I was coming to. Like,
it's the first thing I thought about. Yeah. It's like exactly the same. Like
it has the same humor as the carpet from the Aladdin cartoon.
No, but it was really cool. It was really cool to, like, I didn't expect it. Like, I also, because I don't know the character, I didn't know that the cape of Doctor Strange is sentient, that he can, you know, decide. I didn't know that. So that was kind of cool. And also just the reveal when he finally wears the cape and it's kind of billowing everywhere and he sets the thing right, the collar.
The collars.
And even the joke that follows that, that was quite funny. I also like the Beyonce joke a lot.
That was hilarious how he actually had to find out who Beyonce was.
Or I thought he already knew her. He was just not, you know, he was just not making, he's just not connecting with it. Everybody knows Beyonce.
We were talking about Tibetan monks, supposedly, so hey.
They have Wi-Fi, dude. They have Wi-Fi.
That's true.
Wi-Fi, the first thing you do is watch Beyonce clips, man. That's how the world works.
That's true.
What are we still missing? Anything else? Like, because they also, like, the other thing I really liked, and I think let's not start getting into spoiler a little bit. If people haven't watched it yet, I think go watch the movie. Otherwise,
go away, we're gonna fuck it up.
Like, the thing is, like, you know, I think Marvel movies, everybody's watching them, and I think this is a good one and a fun one, so
it's a light film. You're not gonna feel the hour 55 minutes for sure.
Yeah, and it's also fun because it's again not connected with as much with the rest of the Marvel movie. You can just step into it without, you know,
it's a complete standalone.
You know, something like Captain America, you just have so much backstory now.
Yeah.
It's hard to jump into Captain America 3. But this one, you can, like Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, you can just jump into straight away and you'll get it. So, okay, we're going to start talking a bit about spoilers now. So I really liked how it did tie in that the amulet he was wearing, the eye of whatever it is, Agamemnon or whatever.
Agamemnon. going to Greek time. Awesome.
that was an Infinity Stone. I was so engrossed in the movie that I didn't even make that connection. Because this is like the fifth one, right? This is the last one that they need. Am I right?
I think so, yeah.
Because you have this one, you have the red one from Thor, you have the red blue one from Thor, you have the one on Vision, and then you have the purple one from Guardians of the Galaxy. So we have all five Infinity Stones, I think.
And that will be
the gauntlet of awesomeness.
Which we're actually very soon now, we'll see a movie with him.
Yeah, I think is it the next one or the one after?
I think so. No, I
Thor
think so,
is coming.
I think so.
Thor is going to be the next one.
Yeah.
And then I think is the next Avengers. Infinity.
I don't know. I feel like I had enough of Thor. I want something else.
I like Thor. I kind of like him. I like that kind of, you know, like rambunctious, macho, let's have some beer kind of thing. I think Chris Hemsworth plays it really well. And again, I think it seems to be like the characters I'm connecting with is when the central performance is really on board. So I think for Thor, that works for me. I'm still kind of pissed off that they nixed Natalie Portman in the second one. That's kind of in the overall storyline. And I think she's not going to appear in the third one either. So that's kind of annoying me. But it's going to be kind of a buddy cop movie, right? With Thor and Hulk, it seems. So that could be fun. So I think they're going to...
But that's these two in the comics. They have a crazy chemistry between them that they're always like roughhousing and playing fighting and being jackasses to each other.
So.
But since you like characters like this, then you must love Jason Momoa.
In what?
Because he's exactly that. Like,
I don't want them to be like that in real life, man. I want them to be that on screen.
Because he is going to be the same. He's, I think, according to what I read, he's taking this part of his personality into the character of
Aquaman.
Aquaman. So I'm just curious how the beer drinking is going to come in Aquaman, but
I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Like, it's not that, you know, we were talking, I went to this with Sujoy, who's been a guest many times on the podcast before and a good friend of ours. And we were just like talking, like, even a bad Marvel movie is still better than a good DC movie. And I like DC movies, you know, I really enjoy them. I look forward to them. I don't hate them, whatever. But yeah, Marvel just knocks it out of the park every time, you know? Like, we're just on board. They've locked this down. They know how to do it. And, there's just no comparison even anymore. So, yeah. So, what else? Oh, you wanted to talk a bit about the Stinger 2, right? The two finales of the movie?
There were two finales? I only saw one.
Yeah, there were two. You didn't stick around for the end credits?
No, everything finished. Fucking Belgian.
Yeah, fucking no. So this first one is pretty much Thor enlisting Doctor Strange.
Yeah, pretty much it. And he was dressed like a civilian, not like Thor at all. Yeah. Talking about Loki.
Yeah, it seems to be that this is coming maybe after Thor Ragnarok, or he's back?
I don't know. That's why I want to find out what's the second part.
Because I've kind of lost track of where Thor is now. Like, because we didn't see him in Civil War.
No, he was away in his homeland. Home dimension. Valhalla.
Yeah, I'm kind of confused exactly where Thor is at the moment.
Because don't forget, the last thing we saw of Valhalla was Loki posing as his father. So now Thor is going to be busy taking care of that mess, I think.
Yeah, but he was in Avengers 2, though.
But he wasn't in the last one.
Yeah, but that wasn't the Avengers movie. That was Civil War.
Okay.
So I don't know where he's been after Avengers 2. So,
yeah.
You know, so that's a bit kind of confusing. It was just funny to see him kind of in civilian clothes. And the whole bear joke was funny. I thought that was really cool. He seems to enlist him. That was the first stinger. I like them. That was the moment I really liked Benedict most of all.
I love their interaction. It was freaking awesome. But I'm really upset and quiet because I can't believe they ripped us off of the second one. What is it? Tell me.
Mordo comes back and he comes back to Benjamin Bratt's character. You know, the guy that learned to walk. And it seems to be that he stole his superpowers, and he says that, or his sorcery powers, And he's saying that there are too many sorcerers in the world, and that's kind of the final line. So it looks like they're setting him up for kind of a villain role in the next few movies.
Yeah, I see. Okay, shit, I can't believe that wasn't there.
Yeah.
Like, the lights came on, and that's why I left.
Yeah. Those were the two stingers. So there are definitely two in my screening, so if people want to hang around. Apparently, like, Marvel sometimes switches endings, so it might be that somebody gets another ending or something like that. So, but they usually appear very quickly on YouTube or whatever, so people can usually watch it that way too. Any other spoilerish thoughts that you wanted to still talk about?
There wasn't really that much to spoil for the movie, I have to admit. Like, it was a pretty straightforward origin story for the guy, and that's it.
I did like
his just first kind of battle.
Yeah, I liked the whole time manipulation that they did.
Yeah.
That was new, and I think it's cool because it's... I think the Infinity Stones, I need to, like, rethink about what does what, but this one is definitely controlling time, you know, and every one of them has a different, you know, kind of superpower, and this one definitely is manipulating time. So I really thought it was really cool how they incorporated that in all of the different elements, to the point where in the big showdown with Dormammu, it becomes kind of an essential thing. And yeah. I also like that. You know, a lot of times with the superhero movies, there's the scene where there's a little thing that he learns and then he kind of applies it at the end. And I think it was done slightly better here because it wasn't some super obvious thing that they did. He still had to, you know, flip it around on the big bad villain. So I thought that was kind of cool. And it really showed how smart Doctor Strange is. So that I really liked. What else? Anything else spoilerific that we want to talk about?
No, I think we covered all the major stuff. Like, there's really nothing else.
Yeah. So where is this on your, like, top Marvel list? Like, where do you kind of place it?
I like it because it's completely different. It's like, for you, the Ant-Man, it's just a mystical movie that just happens to have the origin story for Doctor Strange for me. So I really like it. It's light, it's easy, it's nice to see without irritating me about different stuff. So, I'd definitely put it all the way out there.
Like, top five or what?
It would be, like, after Guardians of the Galaxy for me, actually.
Yeah.
So it would be Guardians of the Galaxy, and then I would put that, and then I would throw around some other stuff.
Oh, wow. Okay, it's quite nice.
Yeah. Guardian of the Galaxy is still number one for me. Like, there's no beating that film.
Yeah, no, for me it's still Captain America: Civil War. The Winter Soldier. I really like that one the most. And the first Avengers is in there too, and Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm really looking forward to Black Panther. That's the one I'm really, really looking forward to.
That's gonna be awesome. Yeah.
Completely
irrelevant to anything. I'll make everyone laugh. I was queuing in the cinema yesterday, and this is in Brussels. And then the couple in front of me, I don't know if the dude was drunk or high or just abnormal, but he goes, in English, "Can I have two tickets for Dr. No?" And that's when you hear me laughing my ass off. And the guy turns around. I'm like, I believe that's a James Bond character. I think he went to ask for Dr. Strange. The guy just went so red, man. Like, it was horrible.
Maybe he was stuck in a time loop where, you know.
I don't know, but, like, I thought this is the most funny, ridiculous thing that happened in the cinema ever.
But that's kind of cool, you know, that people that have clearly no understanding of what they're watching.
That's my point. It's just someone who decided to give something a go out of the blues, you know.
And visually, it's amazing. Like, I mean, that feeling that you get when you watch a movie and you really want to watch it again, that does not happen that much with movies.
Yeah.
You know? And I think this is the one thing that Doctor Strange really has. Like, I really want to watch it again and watch it a few times because it's just packed with so many things. And visually, it's just such a delight. I really loved it. So
I'll even watch it again with my wife because she loves Cumberbatch. So
The
film is super light, that she would enjoy for sure.
Yeah, cool. Okay, man. Where can people find more of you?
At I'm tweeting.
Cool. And you were listening to You Podcast. This was kind of a freestyle episode. We just kind of jumped into it.
I did not read any reviews. I did not prepare for shit.
Huh? Yeah, so. Yeah. But I think we just wanted to kind of knock it out. Me and Amit wanted to talk about it, so you guys can listen if you want. If you don't want to listen, it's too late now because we're at the end of the podcast.
Don't have that.
Yeah. But drop us an email at youpodcasting@gmail.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and let us know what you thought of the show. And we'll be back with something very quickly, very soon. Thanks for listening, guys.
Later.